Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
I'm joined by CJ Box, who's out with his 20th Joe Pickett novel. It's called Long Range, and this time around, the Wyoming game warden deals with a grizzly attack up in the mountains under very mysterious circumstances, and then an attempted murder of a judge brings him back home. CJ, set it up for us, several plot threads. What's all going on?
Well, that's two of them, yes. The book opens up, this is not a spoiler because it's the first chapter, with a entire chapter told from the point of view of a bullet as it emerges from a rifle muzzle and travels across the landscape, over the top of rivers, of hayfields. It takes about 3 seconds to hone in on a home, on a picture window, on a man eating dinner, who drops a fork and leans over to get it, and as the bullet comes through the window and inadvertently hits his wife, who's standing behind him. And then that switches to Joe Pickett in the mountains. There has been a grizzly bear attack, an unprovoked grizzly bear attack, which is very, very unusual, and he is sent up with a team of other game and fish officials to try to figure out what happened. And in addition to that, Nate Romanowski, another important person in the series, gets a visit from an ex-FBI official who warns him about a cartel hitman on the way. So all three of these threads kind of go in and out and intersect and finally come together.
That chapter that was written from the point of view of a bullet, that reminded me of a writing project for maybe a writer's workshop or a college-level English class. Is that how it felt to write from the perspective of an inanimate object?
Somewhat. It's fun to do that kind of thing and to try to make it as realistic as possible and as believable as possible. The purpose of it was simply to show, illustrate in a way, how long modern technology can launch a bullet accurately. And that's because of super long-range rifles and very sophisticated optics on those rifles that can now make a 1,000 to 12,000 yard shot available to anybody who can afford that weapon.
This book is a follow-up to last year's Wolfpack, significantly lower body count this time and fewer characters. Does that happen by chance or is that by design as you sit down to write?
A little bit of both. I'm never looking, you know, 5 years down the line, what's going to happen with Joe Pickett and the family and everybody in it. I go from book to book to book. But I do think there's a danger in upping the ante in every book from the last one. So I think this was a little bit more leveling than the last book, where like you say, very high body count, a lot of things happen. In long range, everyone's still recovering from that, and although also dealing with the matter at hand.
The judge in this book, Judge Hewitt, he's been around in previous books. He shares the last name with one of your most famous readers, the talk show host Hugh Hewitt, who reads you religiously. Any coincidence there?
Oh, yes. I think I can't remember how many books ago it was that I created a character named Judge Hewitt and described him as short, dark, and twitchy. And somehow that got back to him. He read it. He read the entire series. We did once a 3-hour interview where we went book by book by book, and I always appreciate anyone who reads the books that carefully, and his platform has gotten larger, and I've kept the character in there.
In this book, we also see the intersection of politics and law enforcement as Joe Pickett's dealing with a new sheriff in town. So what challenges do you find when you write a character like a sheriff who's more politician than law enforcement?
Well, I think that is revealed in the book. It's fun to introduce new characters and to keep things the books progress in real time. So this is the 20th book. Joe Pickett's been around, you know, for 20 years, so things change. New sheriffs, new governors. There's so many tensions always in law enforcement between different agencies and jurisdictions and personalities. And in the Mountain West especially, you add on top of that all of the federal officials who, in Wyoming, half the state is owned by the federal government. So there are a lot of others involved in just about everything, and that creates tension on every page when it comes to law enforcement.
Well, and speaking of writing books in real time, Joe Pickett, his age throughout the book, as we know, he and his wife are now empty nesters. So entering this phase of his life, how does that affect his job as a game warden?
In the past, his girls were always with him. He would talk about his daughters that every night returning home to the house of feelings. And they're all either in college or starting their first jobs, and he and his wife are, in a weird way, getting reacquainted and finding out what it's like to be together again, and they're enjoying it, but it's also kind of scary. But yeah, I think it, again, kind of flows with the aging of the characters and the developments in their life.
And now he goes home to a moose, right?
That's right, a moose standing in the road every night. Moose can't particularly see very well. They can hear well, but they tend to just stand there and stare. And Joe every night has to figure out how to get around the moose to get to his house.
Joe's mother-in-law also makes an appearance here. It's a great character. How fun is she to write?
A lot of fun. She's ever since the third book has been popping in and out, and always seems like the purpose is to make Joe's life as miserable as possible, given all the other tensions going on. And in this one, she has a kind of secret mission of her own that they can't figure out why she's shown up. But that also kind of helps tie the book together.
I'm talking with C.J. Box about his newest Joe Pickett novel. This one's called Long Range. It's the 20th in the series. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. C.J., your books have been translated into several languages, 20-some languages, and I know how important each word is to a writer in a book. So when you get these translations, do you ever, just for grins and giggles, do a Google Translate of some of your memorable passages just to see if the translations hold up?
I used to do that a little. Google Translate is literally accurate, but what it can't do is convey nuance. So all I can do is hope that the foreign publishers get very, very good translators who can not just translate the words word for word, but also transform them to what they're supposed to mean.
You don't have any control over that, though. Creative control, right?
No, and when the book comes out, I have no idea what it said, so I just hope they do it right.
After so many books, you've got this writing down pat, but are deadlines still a crunch for you, if they ever were?
On occasion, but usually not. I can only think of one instance in 27 books where I was really up against the deadline. I'm a former journalist and know about deadlines, and I hate the possibility of missing a deadline. Plus, I want to get done well in time that I can go fishing and do some other fun things between books.
But then, like now, you're touring on this book. You wrote this probably started it 2 years ago, finished it a year ago. Is that about how the timeline works? So now when you tour, you've got to go back and reread it just to make sure you're not missing anything?
Exactly. Good question. Yes. Almost always, during every tour, I'm in the midst of the current book. So sometimes when I'm asked a question about the characters or their fates, I've got to stop and think, what was in that book last year? Because I know what's happening now. In fact, the new Joe Pickett book is two-thirds done, and I'm really concentrating on that, and I have to completely set it aside and kind of block it out when I go out on the road with Long Range.
So you're not one of these writers that writes while they're on tour?
I have in the past. I have had to do some editing and copy editing at times. It's hard to do. It's hard to do all that traveling and moving around and keeping track of the schedule and writing. Usually when I'm given a chance between working out and a nap and working on a book, I will choose the first two.
I know you and T. Jefferson Parker are good friends, and he's been on this show about as many times as you have. As a reader, I have this real romantic idea that authors sit around and talk about writing with each other, and that's it. But I'm sure that's not how it works, right?
You know what? We do on occasion. I've got several writer friends. We have annual fishing trips. We tend not so much to talk about the business or the craft of writing as of other books we've read that were really good, and and trade titles and that kind of thing. But I think most of us kind of use it as a time off away from that to some degree.
I read about this Hotel Wolf in Saratoga, Wyoming. It's like a Joe Pickett museum. So how bizarre is that to see basically a museum about a fictional character?
It is kind of bizarre. That was the actual hotel was featured in a book 2 years ago called The Disappeared, where Joe Pickett stays there. And yes, the room he stayed, room number 9, now has a plaque on it that says the Joe Pickett room. And people book it from all over the world in advance just to stay there and to stay at the hotel. And it's pretty great. We know the owners, and they enjoy the notoriety, and I do too.
Well, and we see this, I know, over in London, 221B Baker Street is a huge landmark, even though it's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle completely made it up. And same with the Amor Tolls, the hotel that he used in Russia for the Metropole Hotel, that the hotel room doesn't exist. Readers are very dedicated to these fictional characters, even more so than some real people, right?
They are, and you know, so many of the books that I write are based on places and facilities and streets. But if I specifically am writing about a town like Saratoga in that book, Jackson Hole, Yellowstone Park, I try to be as accurate as possible and to use real entities. And I know that there are some readers who kind of go on their own informal Joe Pickett tours through Wyoming to try to find all those locations, and it's fascinating to me when they do it.
There's been big news lately about your stories hitting the small screen with ABC's The Big Sky, based on the Cassie DeWall books. David E. Kelley, famous for Ally McBeal and The Practice, lots of others created it. Ryan Felipe just signed on to star in it. How's this experience been?
It's been a long time coming. The books have been optioned in one form or another since the very beginning, but nothing has ever been made or completed. And so this happened actually kind of quickly. Was about 3 weeks ago, David Kelley called and said ABC had ordered the series straight to series, meaning it's going to air an entire first year without a pilot, and that he had to scramble and start hiring actors, and he's writing the entire thing, and I totally put all of my trust in him because he knows what he's doing. He likes working with novels and novelists, and the pilot script that I read was fantastic. So I'm excited. I'm considered an executive producer on the series, and I want to visit the set, but I also don't want to get too intimately involved.
Worlds colliding, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, suddenly a very isolated process turns into a huge collaboration.
When I was in college here in Iowa in the 1990s, Tom and Roseanne Arnold relocated here. Tom was a native, but Roseanne wasn't, and it was all the rage. I know in your beloved Wyoming, the New York Times just reported recently that rapper Kanye West has relocated to your state, and he's actually recording music there. What's been that reception like for what's at face value as a fish out of water?
Yes, I've been following that very carefully. I, not too long ago, drove by what used to be called the Monster Lake Ranch, which is now called the West Ranch, near Cody, and it's really making an impact. I think it's very—it's fascinating, and I'm probably going to write about it at some point. In that little town of Cody, not very many people knew who Kanye West was or cared, and they seem to kind of appreciate his presence, but they're not awed by him. But he's making an impact, and I think everybody there just kind of thinks, hey, it's cool he chose our town, whoever he is, and, you know, we welcome him here.
All right. Well, your latest book is just another, sure to outsell the previous one, because that's what all your books seem to do, is they always outsell the previous ones. This one's called Long Range. It's the latest Joe Pickett novel by C.J. Box. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. C.J., fantastic book here. Thanks for joining us again to talk about it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. It's always fun. I appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.